So before you go through some of the options that you were considering discussing with her after you found out she really didn't want to go the intensive route, can you just take a step back and talk a little bit about, again, what you consider the core of the workup for a patient with AML, particularly in a community-based setting?
Sure. The first thing to bear in mind is even though patients are often getting worked up in the community, as an academician in a referral center, we like to be there and able to help guide. Is this something that can be managed in the community? Is this something that really we should manage in the academic setting? Because we're offering targeted therapies earlier and earlier on trials. And in particular, if patients have mutations in FLT3, or mutations in IDH 1 or 2, we're going to look at whether we can offer these patients targeted therapy from day one, technically day 8 in the case of patients with FLT3 mutations, but in their frontline therapy is the point. And increasingly, we're going to do sophisticated tests like next-gen sequencing panels that will give us more and more information that not so much guide the therapy on day one, but might guide the therapy down the road. And so in patients who are borderline cases for is a transplant going to help or isn't it, or in which we want to track mutations over the course of therapy, which is increasingly being seen as not a perfect minimal disease marker, but measurable disease marker, we're doing that more and more in terms of saying that persistence of leukemia-associated mutations is important. So at our center, we've been tracking every patient with next-gen sequencing since 2013. Everyone who walks in the door gets that with their initial diagnostics, and that's becoming more standard. The big problem with next-gen sequencing is it just takes time, so it's hard to make treatment decisions based on a test that might have a turnaround time of 3 weeks. So if you have the time to spend, yeah, you can make decisions, but we don't always want to wait 3 weeks before we come up with a management plan for a patient with AML. As I mentioned before, if somebody has a karyotype that shows that they are likely to benefit from CPX, then we want to know that right up front. So we actually, again, once we make a diagnosis of AML, our knee jerk is to send a test for a core binding factor translocation. And if that's negative, our next test is to say, do we see any of the common genetic deletions that predict response to CPX? And those include deletions of chromosome 5, either in the short or long arm, chromosome 7, and chromosome 17, which is where p53 is located. So we have a FISH panel that uses those, and if we see that's the case, we will recommend CPX right from the go, again, in patients over the age of 60, and the drug is approved for any age. But at our center, we're just treating over the age of 60. So that's the next thing we want to know. We then send a FLT3 PCR, which is a rapid turnaround test that will tell you whether you have the presence or absence of a FLT3 mutation within a few days. We get our test to turn around twice a week, so we know an answer within a few days of starting induction. But the important thing there is that we'll know before the chemo is done and before day 8 if this patient would benefit from a FLT3 inhibitor added. And the reason that that's important is there's been a comparison of adding the drug midostaurin, which is not a specific FLT3 inhibitor, but an inhibitor of FLT3 along with a lot of other kinases to frontline 7 and 3 compared to placebo in patients who had FLT3 ITD mutations or FLT3 TKD mutations. And these are common. About a third of patients will have these. So if you look at how many patients could benefit from that approach, it's actually a fair number of patients. The drug did not obviously increase toxicity of induction, but it improved survival. And the reason it improved survival, again, is not only were more people going into remission, but people stayed in remission better. The event-free survival was better. And also the transplant outcomes were better, particularly if patients went to transplant in first remission. So for patients who are, again, on an aggressive treatment approach, we really want to know, do they have a FLT3 mutation within a few days of diagnosis?